Well, this world, it's not my home. Lord, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
Is that how you feel this morning?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Certainly good to be in service again together to worship the Lord. And got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this morning. Also just want to remind you, Lord willing, we'll be having our Sunday morning Christmas service, December the 25th. We will not be having an evening service that Sunday, however. And tonight, Lord willing, Brother Arnie Bird will be preaching for us. So looking forward to that service as well. And then our New Year's services will be having Sunday morning and Sunday evening as well. Brother Ivan Milby, who we've been praying for, he passed into eternity on Wednesday night. So I want to remember the family in prayer during this time. They'll be having a funeral for him at the Foster Toller Curry Funeral Home in Greensburg, Kentucky, on Monday. And the viewing will be at 11 a.m. our time, and the funeral will be at 1 p.m. Our time. They've asked that I preach the funeral, so keep me in prayer. I'll be traveling there. It's about 2 hours away Monday morning to preach the funeral. And just remember the family, especially during this time. Brother Dale Milby, who I think is with us this morning, his grandson is in the hospital. They rushed him to the hospital, I believe it was Friday or Saturday, with a 105-degree fever. He's less than a year old, and he's on a breathing machine, so I want to remember him in prayer this morning especially. Also, Sister Mayfield is sick, not feeling well. I want to remember her in prayer. Sister Christine Hawansky and little Christopher, they're not feeling well. And my sister Debbie, she's not feeling well this morning. Sister Christy asked that we remember her grandma Betty, who was in the hospital with bronchitis. She's home now, but still very sick. And also to please pray for Sterling Lewis from West Virginia, who is diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and is declining very rapidly. He's in the hospital, very sick. It is critical. So we'll remember that brother in prayer. And also, Sister Christy asked for prayer for her cousins, Farrah Crothers, and her husband for a family situation. We'll remember that in prayer this morning. And Sister Amanda Andes has a teacher that has a large brain tumor, and they're wanting to do invasive chemo treatments to try to treat that. And I don't think he can walk without assistance of a walker due to that. So I want to remember him in prayer this morning. Also, my wife's grandmother, Sister Nadine Wirtz, the doctors don't give her much time to live. So I want to remember her in prayer. And Sister Mary Beth's dad also is very sick in the hospital. So we have very many requests this morning, but the Lord knows each one. How many of you has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Brother Hoover, would you just come this morning and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Let's bow our heads, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we approach you the only avenue that you provided for us to come through, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said that it was sufficient, Lord. It's sufficient for every need that we have. Lord, you heard every request that was read. There's no way that I can remember them, Lord, but you know each and every one. A lot of requests, Lord. Lord, big needs, Lord, that we have, but we serve a mighty big God. A God that's bigger than any need that we could ever bring to you, Lord. You can handle it. And we just come through your name this morning and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believing, Lord Jesus, that what we ask for, we can receive. And we just ask, Lord, for each of these requests, Lord. It's some family member. Lord, it's a son, it's a daughter, it's a mom, it's a dad, it's a brother or a sister. But Lord, it's one of your children. Lord, you said that you wouldn't turn your back on us, but what we ask for, Lord Jesus, we would receive with faith believing. And we come in faith believing this morning, Lord, your bride, your anointed at the end time, Lord, on this earth. We're standing here, Lord, your God, under your name, Lord. And we come and we ask for healing, Lord Jesus. We ask for comfort for those that have lost a loved one. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage, Lord, those that are downtrodden, Lord Jesus, and discouraged. Heavenly Father, may your spirit come and minister to each of us this morning. And Lord, the needs that were signified by raised hands in this congregation this morning, Lord, you know what's behind every hand that was raised. Lord, you can come and walk up and down these aisles and you can minister, Lord, as the word comes forth. We believe, Lord, that your word still has power. It's sent forth, Lord, and it heals people. It sends, Lord, it goes forth and it delivers people. Your prophet said the preaching of the word drives away the demon spirits, Lord. We believe that this morning. We believe there's people here this morning that will be loosed, Lord, by the power of the spoken word. We believe there's people that will be saved and they will be filled with the Holy Spirit by the power of the spoken word, Lord. We just give you praise for it now. We give you glory. We just lift our hands in honor and praise to you and say thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again, saints. We're going to continue with the 38th chapter of Psalms. We'll be reading 12 through 22. Seems that our enemy has been busy, but we've got a God that's not too busy that he don't hear our cries and answer our needs and our prayers. So keep each one of those in prayer, not just today, but through the week as you work along or whatever you would be doing. If something comes on your mind, be sure and lift up the prayers. If you can't remember them, he does. Just ask him to remember all those that were read this morning. All right. Starting with the 12th chapter or 12th verse, excuse me. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that is good.
Save me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. God bless you. Please be seated. We had a deacons meeting Monday, I believe it was Monday evening, and we've made some decisions as deacons, and we'd like to make the announcements to you and ask that you do everything you can to abide by them. I'd like to say, now, we're not trying to be legalistic about everything, but we have a church, and we want to try and keep it as much in order as we can for each other. Sometimes things happen, and we think, oh, that don't bother me, but what about the ones around you, behind you or in front of you or wherever they may be sitting? Some things may bother the other people. But that being said, let me make these announcements here. It's only a couple of them. The nursery, the board has decided to limit the nursery to the children that are two and under. So for those that have children that are three and so forth, if you need to take them someplace, there's some rooms downstairs, there's a couch downstairs until you get them settled down and then get them back into the service. I think it's good for the children to be in service. They need to learn how to sit and to listen and to be as quiet as they can. And yet they're babies. We can't accept them to, we don't expect them to sit absolutely still and not utter a word or not move around or not have a crayon or a pencil or a pad or some little soft toy that don't make noise. So, but if you've got to feed them, please don't do it in the tabernacle. Take them into the nursery or downstairs. But I'm not saying they couldn't have a little animal cracker or something like that. But I've seen in churches where they actually feed them. So we don't want that. I don't believe it's conducive to what this building or any other building that's set aside for the service of the Lord. So keep the nursery to two and under, if you would, please. And if you're in there and you've got a child that is two and a half or whatever and they want to play, just make sure they're playing quietly. And you say, well, what do you mean play quietly? Well, they can be on the floor and play with something without disturbing the mother with the baby that she's trying to get to sleep. So just be respectful of each other is the best that you can possibly do. And just turn it this way. What if it was you? See, sometimes we have to turn around and look in the mirror and say, what about myself? Not just thinking of the others, but it fits for you also. Now, the next thing is we've got a lot of bathroom trips going on by the children. So I would urge you, and the board said, we urge you, when you come in church before service, send your children to the bathrooms. After Sunday school class, Brother Joel and Sister Rebecca Bryant, the deacon and one of the little children's teacher, Sister Rebecca, the pastor's wife, we all know her, they try to make sure that the children go to the bathroom before they come upstairs. Now, we realize children need to go to the bathroom once in a while, but 3, 4, 5 trips by the same child or group of children, I don't know, maybe I'm out of line, but unless they've got kidney problems, I have trouble with that one. And so if you want to get mad at Brother Layton, and we'll go talk about it. But the point is, get them to the bathroom before church if you possibly can. Brother Joel and Sister Christy will see that they go after class, and then from them, surely they can wait an hour, unless it's a real bad problem. Then also, if your children go, please be mindful of the time they are gone. Because we've had 2, 3, and 4 of them in the bathroom playing around, and they're gone 10, 15 minutes, and Brother Joel's had to get on to them. Now, all your children are put on notice. Listen to Brother Layton. Brother Joel will warn you one time. If you're in there playing, instead of doing what you're supposed to do, wash your hands, dry them, and get out and come back to service. If you're in there playing around, he'll warn you one time. The next time, he's going to tell your parents. Okay, now we all know. So parents, you're warned too. If Brother Joel or I or Brother Truman or Brother Luke has to come to you and say your children are taking too long in the bathroom and they're playing around, we expect you as Christian people to take care of that. Right. You handle it in your way, but you have a talk with them and let them know. To the bathroom, right back to service. The bathroom isn't a playground. Amen. The nursery isn't a playground. It's just exactly what it is. It's a nursery, but we understand little children, maybe they'll sit on the floor and want to play with something. That's fine. So let's all try to be respectful of each other if we can. Amen. And God bless you. And I believe Brother Stephen has an announcement of some type.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Fortunately, as no longer a deacon, I don't have to do the tough announcements. I get the fun trustee announcements. So I wanted to talk for a moment about Christmas, about a Christmas gift for Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca. I was actually going to have Brother Nathan give the announcement himself, but he probably would be a little nervous doing that. So anyway, I got up here, and I had a brother come to me a while back because we had the dedication, I think it was back in October, and Brother Jack Duff, while he was here, had mentioned that a lot of churches do Pastor Appreciation Week or month. I think it's in October. And then a brother in the church came and asked, well, why don't we do anything for Pastor Appreciation? And I said, well, we kind of have had a tradition here where we've done something at Christmas time where we've had a basket, and it's been a free will basket where people can donate whatever they want for the pastor, whether it be just a simple card that tells how they appreciate the pastor and maybe a testimony of what they've gone through the last year. It could be a gift card. It could be a tin of cookies or fudge or that sort of thing. So Brother Jimmy and I were talking about it, let me back up. I told that brother that we'll consider it for next year for Pastor Appreciation Month, but this year we wanted to continue on with our tradition and do something extra special at Christmas. So that is what we're going to do this year. I talked to Brother Jimmy, and we are going to have a basket down in the basement next Sunday, the 18th, in the window there of the little kitchen area. And if anybody wants to contribute, like I said, whatever you want, just a card or whatever, you can put it in that basket after church on Sunday the 18th. And then in addition, the trustee board is working on a gift for Brother Nathan. It's not a big expensive gift, but it's something that should be pretty meaningful for Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca. So I don't want to say any more than that because I don't want to give away the surprise, but I really do appreciate the deacon board. And that's a tough announcement. I know we're all working together to help our children be respectful in church, but also learn to love church. And we certainly do appreciate Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca for all they do. So however you feel led to express your appreciation for them, whether it's in the basket or whether it's just us joining together as a church to get them a little something, we do want to tell them we appreciate them. Certainly appreciate you, Brother Nathan. So God bless you, Brother Nathan.
I was sitting there while he's talking, thinking, you know what, I didn't say something I should have said. Besides putting out a word of correction, I'd like to say I'm really happy, and we all express this, and especially me, I'm really happy with the way the church is going. I'm happy with you folks. You all come in, you do well, you sit quietly, and even the children. I didn't mean to make it sound like the children weren't doing well. They are. They're doing real good. And sitting up here, I can see pretty much the whole church, and I see what's going on, and things catch my eye, and some people see me constantly looking, but that's just my nature. I was that way when my children were coming up. In church, they got away with very little because Brother and Sister Layton, even if we were praying, we could tell what was going on. We'd watch them and so forth. But I just want to say we're very happy with the church, with the people, with the conduct, all of you, adults and children alike. So I didn't want you to think I was just up here to bring correction or anything. It wasn't just that. It's just that we're very happy with everything, and I've expressed that to the pastor and to the deacons and probably to many different ones of you that I've talked to, and even those that are outside of the church, whether at the Branham Tabernacle or whichever church they're going to, and we talk about our church. I tell them I'm just as happy as I can be over here, and I've seen the church grow, not just in numbers, but spiritually. I've seen it come a long way in the 4 years I've been here, and I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful to you. So God bless you.
Amen. Well, and I don't want you to think that some of those things are just Brother Layton. The entire board and myself discuss those things and agree. And I think it's pretty good that the biggest problem our church has is the kids in the bathroom. I mean, it needs to be dealt with, but I'm thankful that's our biggest problem that the deacons had to meet about. So I'm very proud as well. Also, I just want to thank Sister Carol Jackson. She did the flowers here in front of the pulpit for Christmas, and they just did a wonderful job. I appreciate that. And the trustees and the deacons and the musicians and Sunday school teachers and the song leaders, and I just appreciate it all. I was running a little late putting some prayer requests and things together and didn't get out here as early as normal. I walked up those steps, and Brother Furman leading in worship, the presence of the Lord was already here. I thought, we're blessed. Amen. Amen. We're blessed. I think Brother Lauren has a special force. Good to have him back with us. And he's had knee surgery, and it's going to take him a little bit to get up here. So let's just sing a song while he's coming.
I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, yes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I am walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, yes, I'd rather be.
Hope you don't mind if I'm sitting down. I can't stand very long. I'm recovering from since September of 2015, which is over a year ago. I've been battling this knee that is causing quite a bit of trouble. But we've got it. The Satan has really been after me. I know that. He's trying to get me down, and I said no. No, you can't get me down. I said, and the people that I'm working with, the physical therapists and so on, they can't understand how my attitude could be so good. I said, well, I've got something within me that just makes me going on. You have to go on. But and I thank you very much for what you have done, your prayers, in which you've... my pastor, by the way, has come visited me at least once a week, and I appreciate that. He not only visits me, but he brings a little sack lunch right along with it. So we all sit around the table and we just talk a little while. Brother Layton, both of them are there every week, and there are others who have come, and I really appreciate it, and I want to say thank you. Thank you very much. This song that I would like to sing, I think I've sung it. Brother Richie Keith recommended, or he heard me sing it long, long years ago. And so I thought I'd sing it again. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you
appreciate that this morning. Amen. I'm glad to see it hasn't affected his singing voice. Amen. Good to have Brother Lauren back with us in service. If the brothers would come at this time, help me sing this morning.
Oh, there's a light in the window, and the table's spread in splendor. Someone's standing by the open door. Oh, and I can see the crystal river. I know I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Standing at the door. This old world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets crying, feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine, it's just about home going time. I can see my father standing at the door. Been this homesick before. Oh, I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets crying, church, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see. Before, turn around and shake somebody's hand this morning.
God bless you. Genesis chapter 2, if you turn with me this morning. Genesis chapter 2, and I want to just read one verse there this morning. Verse 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to read that again together. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, recognizing that there's many needs that are represented. Lord, the prayer requests, Father, and Lord, those that were made known by the uplifting of the hands. Lord, you know about each one. Father, I just ask that you would come on the scene in a special way. Lord, may you move, Lord, in each circumstance, in each situation. Lord, as my mind goes out, Lord, to that little child laying there, Lord, with 105 degree temperature and on breathing equipment, Father. Lord, not even a year old, and Satan's trying to destroy its little life, Father. But may you just move on the scene in that situation. Lord, may a testimony come forth of your healing power. Lord, for each need that was represented, Lord, may you move in a special way as only you can, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I want to speak to you this morning, and it's going to be half sermon, half testimony, but I want to speak to you on the architect of our bodies. The architect of our bodies. And reading this scripture, how that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. That word formed that is used there by Moses in the Hebrew language is a word yostar, which means to form or to fashion or to frame. And when we would go to build something, my little boys right now, they're into Legos, and they love to build, and they're just constantly building something and coming and bringing it to me and showing me, Daddy, what do you think about this one, or what do you think about that one? And they'll build all kinds of different things with using their imagination, and they've got something, though. When they begin to start, they might be different colors and different sizes and different shapes, but they've got little pieces that they go to begin to build these things with just using their thoughts. That thought becomes projected, and whatever they've imagined, it comes out in the Legos that they're putting together. And God, in the beginning, he didn't have a Lego, he didn't have a brick, he didn't have a stick, he didn't have a speck of dust, but he began to speak and to brood. And Brother Bram said the Holy Spirit, he said when God spoke that he believed his own word, and he said, let there be light. And in the midst of just complete darkness, there had never been light. And God dwelt alone out in eternity in darkness. And he spoke, and where it had been complete darkness, the spoken word brought forth light. And I believe that he still does the same thing today. He's still separating the light from the darkness. And when he speaks, your situation may seem just as dark and as dreary and as miserable as it can be. And it almost seems like there's no light in sight, no light at the end of the tunnel. And yet when God begins to speak, it brings light to that situation. And God, when he spoke in the beginning, he speaks, let there be light, and light began to come forth. And he begins to brood, and he begins to speak. And Brother Bram said he would speak, and there would just be a little missile that would begin to come out of nowhere, and he would stop it somewhere and say, you're going to be a star, and you're going to be a moon, and you're going to be a planet. And he would hang these things in their orbit, not just our solar system, not just our galaxy, but solar system after solar system, galaxy after galaxy. I don't know how many millions and billions of years that he was out there creating. It just said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Brother Ram said that might have been billions of years that he was out there speaking. But as he's speaking, he's building without material. Hebrews chapter 11 said, by faith we recognize that the worlds were formed by things that weren't seen, that God would just speak and it would come into existence. And as he begins to speak, and the calcium and potash and petroleum and all the chemicals was laying there in the earth, Brother Ram said, even before, we'll read it in a little bit, he said, even before the entire world was completed, yet those chemicals that are in your body today were laying there in the earth. Amen. And God begins to speak, and he forms man out of the dust of the earth, and he becomes a living soul. He takes it and he begins to form it, and he begins to fashion it. And God, when he made this, he made it perfect. Even old Lucifer, the Bible said he was perfect in the day he was created, but then iniquity was found in him. When God goes to create something and to do something, he does it perfect.
And God, as he begins to speak, and he forms this, I want you to go out sometime, and you know, around Christmas time, if we have enough snow, and it's the right type of snow where you can pack it right and everything, you know, you try to roll up and make snowballs and make a snowman and all these different things, but you go out sometime, and I want you to have a little project and get some mud and pack it together and make you a human mud man and see how good it looks. See how complex it is. See what kinds of features it has, and see how good a job you can do with some clay out of the ground. But God takes this, something that we wouldn't even think of, just some old dust laying out there in the field, and he begins to take it and to form a man out of it. And when he does this, he being the architect of our bodies, he designs it in such a complex way until science is still figuring out things about this body. They've been studying it for hundreds and hundreds of years. But I want to read you some statements from some different health websites and Wikipedia and government websites and different things like that. I'm going to read you some statements about the human body this morning. It says that almost 99% of the mass of the human body is made up of six elements. 99% of our body is made up of six elements. That's oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus. Only about 0.85 is composed of another five elements, potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, and magnesium, and all 11. So these six that are make up 99% of our body, and these five that make up 0.85 of our body, all 11 are necessary for life. You take out one of those elements, you take the oxygen out of our body, we're gone. You take all the carbon, all the hydrogen, whatever it is, you take one of those elements out of the body of these 11 elements that God created from the dust of the earth, and life is gone. The remaining elements, so we had 99%, then we had 0.85%, so now there's 0.15% of us left. It says the remaining elements are trace elements, of which more than a dozen are thought on the basis of good evidence to be necessary for life. So he didn't waste anything. All these chemicals and all the anatomy of the human being, when he goes to create it and form it out of the dust of the earth, it's not made up of a lot of features, but what it's made up of, it's necessary for the life. Now, our bodies are composed of 270 bones at earth, but most of you don't have that many now, because it decreases to about 206 bones in an adult's life because some of those bones begin to fuse together as we grow. Now, approximately 320 bilateral muscles. Almost all of your muscles are bilateral. So if you have a muscle on this side of the face, you've got another one to match it on that side of the face. And if you've got a muscle on this arm, you've got that same muscle on that arm. So there's about 640 muscles in the human body, but there's 320 and they're bilateral on each side. Now, your small intestine in an adult is about 23 feet long. That's a lot of intestine. Sometimes they'll say, doctors will say, we're going to have to perform surgery and take a foot out of your intestine or a foot out of your colon. And you think, oh, dear Lord, I don't think I got that much to spare. But just your small intestine alone is 23 feet long. The large intestine, which is larger in diameter but not in length, is about 5 feet long. So you've got all that packed up inside of here. Now, your arteries and veins and capillaries are running all through your body so that your blood and your oxygen and everything can circulate around through. And if you were to take all of the veins and the arteries and the capillaries out of the human circulatory system and lay them out in line end to end, the total length would be 60,000 miles. 60,000 miles of veins and ventricles and capillaries inside of your body. Now, we just drove 2,400 miles on an evangelistic trip, and I thought that was long, but that would just be a drop in the bucket if they would lay you out and take string by string and line by line and lay it out. Now, I don't have this one in front of me, but I forget. I think it was one of the smallest microorganisms to lay out the data that is in the DNA of that little microorganism is just thousands and thousands and thousands of pages from that one little microorganism. And then our bodies, being much, many, many more thousands and millions of times more complex than that microorganism, you can imagine the data that would be in our body. In fact, I saw, I read an article last night that the human brain has enough electricity to charge a 40-watt light bulb for 24 hours just by hooking it up to your brain, which I don't want them to use all my electricity that I have in it for one light bulb. And you might find out I was a dimwit anyhow. If we hooked it up, that bulb might not come on very strong. But there's supposedly enough electricity just in your brain. So electricity flows through our bodies. If you don't believe it, let somebody grab a hold of, I think they said it was Cohen, likes to touch electric fences. But it's okay. Sometimes if you go up and you touch that electric fence, it'll kind of get you a little bit. But you hold on to that electric fence and let somebody else touch you and see how it feels, because it's flowing through your bodies and you ground it and it charges you. Our body, that electricity will flow through it. Now, the brain is made up of a complex network of billions of nerve cells called neurons, and the approximate number of these neurons is estimated at roughly 100 billion neurons. Look at somebody and say, I'm smarter than you thought I was. 100 billion neurons right here, Brother Hoover. I don't know if all of them are working properly, but they're there. And God, when he goes to design this body, this great architect, he didn't just slap this together like we would go out and make a snowman or a mud man or something like that. We would have made it a mess. But God, being this great architect, he makes it in such a way. Brother Ram talks about how, you know, if you've got a line somewhere that blows loose and you don't have everything just set up right with where it'll reroute itself, that just lines will start blowing all over the city. But the human body, you cut an artery and the whole thing doesn't just malfunction and start going out. But God has designed it such that our blood will begin to clot, and that blood will automatically reroute itself around this artery. You chop off your thumb and you don't die because that blood can't circulate there anymore. It automatically reroutes itself. Now, you know, if you were a plumber or electrician and you had something go wrong in this building, and you would, and there was a major issue that was causing, you know, blockage or causing electrical issues, you would have to either go and fix that, or you would have to come and manually bypass it and work your way out around it. But God designed the body in such a way, man, out there in the Civil War days when they were bombs going off and shells and they didn't have a lot of antibiotics and things that they could give them at that time when that leg would get a little infected, they'd just take a hacksaw and chop the thing off. But that didn't kill the body. God automatically had it set up to where that blood would clot and it would redirect itself automatically. They haven't even got supercomputers that can do what the human body can do yet. And you get all these computers, some of the fastest computers that I've seen, I can still keep ahead of most of them. They'll lag down at some point, and you'll be typing, you'll be waiting for it to catch up with you, or you'll be searching and you'll be going faster than that. All the technology and all the science, yet they still haven't got it to where it's faster than the human brain moving to work it. And I know some of them can calculate large numbers and things like that quicker than we can, but that's just because they've been programmed by some human to do that. God does all this complexity in his design as this great architect of our bodies. And then atheists want to say all this was just random selection. The 60,000 miles of arteries and capillaries and everything in your body, it was just random, just per chance. And, you know, all of the neurons in your brain, over 10 billion neurons in your brain, or 100 billion rather, all of the muscles are working. And you know, sometimes I feel like I've pulled every one of them, but I know I haven't. And everything that you've got, all the bone structure, everything else, they say, oh, it was just random happening. Well, I'd like them to take a cake recipe and just put all the ingredients in and just shake it up in a box and throw it in an oven for a few hours and pull it out and see without any intelligent design behind it how that comes out. And if it would come out to look like some of these cakes that some of the sisters make that are designed to look like, you know, they make them look like a football, or they make them to look like, you know, people or whatever. They put all this design and all this thought into it. Just take all the same ingredients and shake it up in a box and put it in the stove and see if it can come out and look like something like that. It'll look like a mess by random selection. But it wasn't random selection, but God looked down through time and said, there'll be a Richard Keith, there'll be a David Andes, there'll be a Randy Evans. And he looks down through time and he designs this human body, and all of the chemicals of all of our bodies that would be here today was laying there in the dust when he originally spoke and said, let there be, and there was. Oh, I don't have enough faith to believe in random selection. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, Brother Branham picks this up in the Impersonation of Christianity in 1957, which is where I got the title for this sermon. He says, and now, friend, if the Holy Spirit was the only instrument that God used to brood us out of the earth... And we did come from the earth, he says, and we were here before there was an earth. Remember, here's encouragement for you people that's to be prayed for. If the Holy Spirit is brooding, made the physical being, who is the architect of our bodies? Right. He said, oh God, make people see it. The Holy Spirit gave you your appendix, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your heart, and put a new spirit in you, and then come to live in you. He said, do not by any means accept intellectual things, theology that's contrary to the Bible, but stay only with thus saith the Lord. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we were healed. Now, you may be in a mess this morning, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever it is. You may be an absolute mess this morning. Maybe it was everything you could do to drag yourself to church this morning, or maybe your spouse or somebody dragged you along with them. But whatever the situation is, I want you to remember this morning that the very architect that designed your body, if he was able to create this from things that didn't exist, and if he was able to do this and bring you here without you having any choice in it, how much more now if we can just get into the turn of his perfect will, and he's already got these elements, he's already got your body, if we can just give him our will and get in the turn and get in his will, how much more can he do when he brought us here against our will, against our choice? We didn't have any choice to say, this is going to be my daddy, and this is going to be my brother, and this is going to be my sister, and this is going to be the type of house that I'm going to live in, and this is going to be the type of salary my family is going to have. He didn't give you that choice when you were birthed and formed in your mother's womb, that you could come down and pick, you know, like a value meal, pick out every little item that you wanted. And, I want us to be this type of class. I want us to be upper middle class with 3 cars and a 5-car garage and, you know, it's 30,000 square feet. And I want my dad to have this kind of job. You didn't have that choice coming into it. He just selected you and placed you here. And if he could do that and bring you here without even you being a part of it, how much more can he do once we get in line with his will? Amen. The very one that created it, the very one that formed it, and then something goes wrong with it, and we think, oh my, I guess God just doesn't love me. No, you give him a chance. If he could bring you here that way, how much more can he do for you now that you're here? There's a story that's told of a boiler maker. And he was a guy that was just a very intelligent man, knew all about these boilers. And they had a great steam engine down in a ship that they couldn't get working right. And it was clanging and making noise and wasn't functioning right. And they called in this great boiler maker to come and take a look at it. And he goes down and he looks around it for about 5 minutes. And he puts his ear up to it and listens in some different places. And he reaches in his tool bag and he gets out a little bitty hammer. And he goes over to a valve and he goes... and hits it once, and everything chugs and just begins to work perfectly. And he walks out, puts his hammer back in the bag, zips it up, and leaves him a bill for $1,000. And the owner of the steamship comes, writes him a letter, says, sir, I don't understand. You was only there about 5 minutes. How can you charge for a $1,000 bill? He said, they tell me all you did was just tap the thing with a little hammer. Could you send me an itemized bill? And he sends him a bill and he says, tapping with the hammer, $5. Knowing where to tap, $995. They thought, why would we pay you that much? Well, if somebody else could fix it, why didn't you have them come in and fix it? But he knew this product so well. He knew this machine so well. All he had to do was just listen to it, and he knew exactly where to tap it. Now, if a boiler maker can do something like that, how much God that designs your body, Maybe you don't even know. Maybe the doctors don't know. They've tried to figure it out. Maybe the psychiatrists have tried to figure you out. And they say, I don't know what's wrong with you, but something's wrong. Maybe they can't figure it out. Maybe you've looked and you've scratched your head and you've tried medication and you've tried counseling and you've tried all kinds of different things. It seems like you can't figure out what's wrong. Why don't you call the great architect on the scene this morning? Hey, he knows exactly what the problem is. He knows exactly where it's at. And what's more, he knows where to tap. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 16, Isaiah talking about how we try to figure everything out and think we're so great. He said, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Romans 9, chapter 20, Paul picking up on this same line of thought. He says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, he says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. David, getting into this same line of thought in Psalm 139, verse 14, says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care what your situation is this morning, how bad it looks, what the doctor said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. I saw a man, I think it was on YouTube a few years ago. This guy didn't know anything about the message as far as I know, just a nominal Christian. But he was born without any arms and without any legs. And he had a little wheelchair that he could control through vocal commands. And if he wanted to go somewhere, somebody had to pick him up and set him. And he came out there and began to talk and to witness to these people. And there he sat with no arms and no legs. And he said, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Oh, it'd be hard to get into that line of thought if you was in that condition. You say, oh my, I'd be like that. Well, maybe after about 37 years of sitting in that condition and see everybody else walk over to the refrigerator and get them a big glass of milk, and you sit there and think, my, I wish I had legs to do that and arms to do that. But he could sit there and testify, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I don't know what situation you're in this morning, but I don't think any of us is that bad off.
Right.
Brother Branham said he thought he had it bad because he didn't have a pair of shoes. He said, then I looked around one day and saw a man that didn't have any feet. Impersonation of Christianity again. He said, and if God made us what we are without us having any knowledge of what was going on, he goes down a little further. He said, if God did that without you having any say so in it, you never said, make me thus. He said, who taking any thought could add one cubit to his stature? But if he made you thus without you having anything to say, how much more can he through his brooding give you a choice? He said, and you're on the basis of free moral agency, you can turn this down or you can accept it. To turn it down is to be lost and remain potash and calcium and petroleum. But to accept it and to have a new heart, a new spirit, and his spirit, part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotions, and when he coos through his word, you coo back and answer to him, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, Lord. I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. Amen, Lord. He said, how much more will he raise you up, though your bodies be blown from east to west by the winds? How much more can his spirit, after the total annihilation by this atomic bomb that's going to drop on this earth one of these days, blowing holes and scattering out throughout the space, but the calcium and potash will remain here, and then the Holy Spirit brood again, every bone will go back to bone, every limb will go back to limb. He said, in one place, I won't have to say, Lord, get Charles and Ella Branham back together to produce a William Branham, but he said, he'll just speak and I'll come forth. Hey man, I don't care what they do, what condition you go in, if they cremate you, if they bury you, if an atomic bomb drops right on where your gravestone was, all the calcium and potash and everything broken back into its original elements, they won't be able to destroy that. And one day God will speak and say, David Hoover, and he'll come forth.
Amen.
One day God will speak and say, William Branham, and he'll step up and say, I'm here, Lord, what do you need?
Right.
Your loved ones that's gone on before, whoever it is, I don't care how long they've been gone or what condition they died in, whatever it is, if God speaks, just as Lazarus, who was there in the grave 4 days and his nose had begun to sink in and the worms had begun to crawl in and out, and his sister said, oh Lord, don't open that stone, by now he stinketh. He said, Lazarus! And a man that had been dead 4 days said, yes, Lord.
Come on.
Brother Brandon, Brother Billy Paul said he was in that service, and that lady died right in the service. And he said they wanted, I believe the doctor called him Little Branham. He said, send for Little Branham. And Brother Billy Paul said, I'm not going out there. And Brother Branham said, Billy, go pray for that dead woman. He said, Daddy, I ain't going over there and touching that dead woman. He said, it's okay, Billy. And Brother Branham said he just walked around, didn't know her from anybody else. But he looked out there and he said, the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said on tape, the Holy Spirit gave me her name. And he looked out there and he said, Mary. And a woman that had died in the service stood up and said, what do you need, Brother Branham? We still serve that same God this morning. The architect of your body. I don't care what's wrong with it. If he designed it with 60,000 miles of veins and arteries and all the muscles and all the bones and all the electrons in your brain, if he could design that out of nothing, what can he do with what you've got for him this morning? Amen. You say, oh, I'm tired and I'm broken down and I'm weary. You came from nothing.
Right.
You came from a speck of dust out in the earth somewhere, and somehow that was picked up in Adam and passed down from generation to generation, down through the seed coming forth, and by predestination, he got this one together and that one together, back through your great, 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 great granddaddy. And he said, oh my, I've got this one and I've got that one. I've got a Jimmy Ard that has to be there. And he looked down through time and brought you from nothing.
Amen.
What can he do with us now that we're here? Oneness, 1962, he said, then came Jesus, the expressed image of God, the woman's seed, conceived by God himself, the great architect, built himself a body. He didn't have to borrow any timber from anybody, from the woman or man. He built himself a house. Oh, my. Then he goes, as he creates himself this body, he didn't have to borrow Mary's egg, or he didn't have to borrow Joseph's seed, but he created, Brother Branham said, both egg and seed, and places it in this woman's womb as an incubator, and he steps out there, and the angel says, it's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. They can argue and debate over it all they want, but he was God in the flesh. God created a tabernacle, and the Bible said the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And he goes out and he begins to perform miracles, and he comes across a man one time that was blind, and he begins to spit on the ground and get some clay. Because, see, there's something wrong. This man is missing some of the chemicals and the calcium and the potash and things. He's got a deficiency in him. And so he reaches down and gets some of the clay that he was originally made out of. And he spits in it and begins to form it together. And he can think back to about 4,000 years before. He thinks, oh, my, this reminds me of the time I made Adam. Because it said without him, Colossians said without him wasn't anything made, and by him were all things made. And he spits on the ground, he looks down, he begins to think about the day he formed Adam, and he goes over and he rubs that clay on this man's eye. He said, go wash that off in the pool of Siloam. There's some calcium and potash and things in that, that by my word, I'm going to speak sight back into your eyes. And he came, and the priest said, oh my, that man that healed you was a sinner. He said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I don't know his history. I don't know who his mommy was and his daddy was, but I know where I once was blind, I can now see.
Amen.
The Bible said never had a man that had been blind from his mother's womb been healed like that. But God came on the scene, the great architect, and touched the eyes of his creation. One day Peter got all upset because there were some men that was going to try to take his Lord, and he draws out his sword and he smites off the right ear of the high priest's servant whose name was Malchus. Now I like this because St. Matthew and St. Mark and St. John, they all break in and tell the story about how the man's ear was cut off of, but only Luke, the beloved physician, tells about how the ear was healed back. I think if I would have been there, you know, I wouldn't have been so proud about, oh my, Peter got his ear. Oh my, he really got him that day. I would have been more impressed by what was the after effects of the ear being cut off. And Luke, being the great physician, he begins to talk about it, and he said, Jesus touched his ear. I want you to think about this. This man's ear's cut off and fell in the dust, and no doubt he's got blood spurting out the side of his head. And Jesus walks over and he says, can you suffer me this far just to walk over to the man and help him? And he reaches down and he gets that ear and he blows off a little bit of that dust, and he walks over to the man. They think, what on earth is this guy going to do with this old chopped up ear? Looked like Mike Tyson had got a hold of the guy. And he reaches over and he pushes it up against the man's head. Doesn't say he said a prayer. Doesn't say he anointed him with oil. Doesn't say he jumped up and down and ran around the building. He just touched the man's ear. And I don't believe there was a scar, Brother Hoover. I don't believe there was any problem with his hearing from then on. I believe it was perfect because the great architect came by. Brother Billy Paul said that he was in a service one time, and a little girl came up, and Brother Branham turned her towards the audience, and all you could see was just empty eye sockets, just black. And he said, Brother Branham began to pray for her. And Brother Billy Paul was watching this little girl. And he said, I began to see just like a white circle spinning around in those eye sockets and an eyeball being formed. What was it? The great architect had walked by her path. Right. And Brother Branham, as he begins to pray for her, Brother Billy Paul, he said, he paused. And he said, I'm sorry, honey, what color eyes would you like? Because the great architect was about to give her some new eyes, and he was going to give her a choice. Brother Lauren was talking about the color of his eyes this morning. He was talking about how it matched his shirt and brought out the blue in his eyes. And he said, your eyes aren't red, though, because I had on a red shirt. I said, no, they're brown, but I didn't get to pick them. I didn't get to pick the color, Brother Jimmy. But now, we didn't have a choice in it, but now this little girl has a choice. She said, always her blue was nice. The great architect made her some eyes. Brother Layton, I don't know if he remembers the question I asked or not, but years ago he had Brother Jesse Branham, one of Brother Branham's brothers, over for questions and answers with the young people, and said each person could ask him a question. And down there, they've got kind of a split level house, and down in their den area, they set out some folding chairs, and Brother Jesse Branham was sitting there, and we were asking different questions. And I asked him, I said, what was the greatest miracle that you saw in Brother Branham's meetings? And he said, Brother Nathan, he said, I was going by one day and watching the meetings. And he said, a man came up into the prayer line. He had bibbed overalls on. And he said he had his pants leg pulled up and pinned with like a squirrel pin or a safety pin or something up over his shoulder. Didn't have any leg in it. And he said, as Brother Branham was praying for the man, he said, everybody had their heads bowed. But he said, I was watching this man. He said, as he was praying, he just reached over and flicked that pin. And he said, when that pants leg fell out, there was a leg in it. Why? It wasn't because Brother Branham was there. It was because the architect of the man's body was honoring his prophet's prayer. And if he could have formed your legs where there was no legs, he just took some calcium and potash and petroleum and began to add it to what was already there. A little boy came up with braces on one time, one leg 17 inches shorter than the other. This wasn't a little difference. This was a big difference, 17 inches. Brother Branham began to pray for the little boy, and his leg just began to grow right down exactly the length of the other one. 17 inches. You can look at the picture of the boy and the built up crutch that he had before he was healed in the Prophet Visit South Africa book. He's over there and he prays for this little boy, and a limb comes down 17 inches long. Some of these guys that are leaving the message and making fun of it, I want to see them produce something like that. I don't hear any testimonies on their websites. I hear a lot of bitterness and attacks and vulgarity and all kinds of sarcasm and blasphemy, but I don't hear any testimonies of, oh my, God restored a limb, or God healed a cancer, or restored a leg 17 inches long. I want to share with you some things that's happened right here in our assembly because of the great architect. Not because Brother Nathan was standing by, but because he was standing by. When we were back at the little one-room schoolhouse, the Prather house there, we were renting it on a weekly basis. And Brother Joel and Sister Christy had just started coming. Sister Christy had such bad back problems, she was in constant pain. She couldn't stand up straight. She was stooped over. Couldn't even pick up. I think Emma was just a few months old. Couldn't pick her up. Couldn't lift hardly anything. And she came up for prayer one night, and we was praying there at the front of the church. I think my mom got healed instantly the same night. And she was standing there, and her back was healed instantly. That had been in pain for months and months and months. Couldn't even hardly stand up or get around, in constant pain. And it left her instantly. It wasn't because Nathan Bryant was standing there. It was because the architect of her body saw her need. Brother Isaac Weber, one of the first watch night service that we'd ever had, and Brother Layton, Brother Trevor had preached for us, and he'd been in a car accident and crushed his foot and broke it, and he came in on crutches, and we had prayer for the brother, and he laid down his crutches and walked out without any crutches because the architect of his body was standing nearby. They brought little Emma up back at the storefront, and she had, the doctors had pronounced her as anemic. Her iron count was below 7, and they said she was going to have to go on iron pills probably for the rest of her life because she had become anemic. And we brought her up for prayer, and they took her back for the next visit, and her numbers were a strong reading of 12 to 13 and have been ever since. She went from anemic to perfectly healthy because the architect of her body was standing near.
Amen.
Little Olivia had the same thing. She was borderline anemic, and she's had the same readings ever since prayer, 12 to 13 ever since. There was a sister came up here just a few Sundays ago. She's been on prescription medicine for years and years and years, and me and the brother prayed for her, and the architect of her body came by and met her, and she's gone off the prescription completely and has been perfectly well ever since.
Amen.
Sister Sherry Virgin came up at the storefront, and they had done some blood work on her, and they had realized that she was pre-leukemia stages, and they wanted to start treatments. Her blood numbers had went to a 3.5, which was showing basically that she was going into leukemia. And I told her, I said, don't you accept that thing. Don't you accept that lie of the devil. Don't even speak that. You just believe and don't worry about it and give that box of rattlesnakes back to the devil. And she went back the next week for tests, and they said it went from a 3.5 to a 1.9. Perfectly normal.
Amen.
Brother Joel, many of you know the testimony, but I've got the paperwork laying right here this morning from his test results. And he had come up a few months ago, and they had diagnosed him with hepatitis B. They believe he had contracted it from working in the hospital. And even though he had had immunizations and things as a child, they said there was still a risk that you could contract that. And we're telling him all about how his lifestyle was going to have to change and all that he was going to have to do because of this and the medications that he was going to have to be on. And they found out that when they did the test, I've got it right here in their own writing, anything over a 12.0 was positive for hepatitis B, and he was 1,000.0 on these numbers. Anything over a 12 was positive, and he was 1,000.0 for the hepatitis B virus. And we had prayer with him, and they went back. And on this paper, it says that there is no HBV DNA detected. No, not even any of it. There wasn't even enough. So anything under a 12.0 isn't positive. So he could have had a 1.7 or a 2.9 or all the way up to an 11.9 and wouldn't have been positive for it. Anything over a 12.0 was greater. He had 1,000 count of it, which would have been many, many multiplied times more than just being positive. And he goes back for more blood work, and they tell him there's not any of the hepatitis B DNA detected in you at all. Not a 0.9, not a 1.1, none.
Amen.
And said, not only that, but your blood work shows that you're immune to the hepatitis B virus.
Right.
Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. The architect of his body came on the scene. Now I want to play, Brother Furman's going to play you a clip here. I don't normally play my own tapes in church, but this is from a prayer that we had back in 2015. Sister Christy had brought Olivia up, and they told us that she had, what is the name of the... They said she had scoliosis, a curved spine, and that she was 2 inches shorter than she should be. And I've got the x-ray, the original x-ray here that shows you there was a 54.6 degree curve of her back. And there was down here from her hip to this vertebrae, it was 45.21 millimeters off of what it should be. And they brought her up and we had prayer. I want you to listen this morning. Sister Christy brought Olivia up. They had x-rays of her backbone and her spine's curved like that. The doctor claims she has scoliosis and that she should be about 2 inches taller than she is. But we serve a mighty God. Just thinking the other day about Brother Branham. I sat there on the side of the platform, had that little boy sit down. So it was 18 inches. 18 inches, Brother Randy. Shorter than it should have been. Shorter than the other one. He sat down there and he began to pray just to pull on that leg. When that little boy stood up, it was 18 inches longer. That's a God of miracles. That's not Walt Disney. That's not fiction. But that's the God that we serve.
Amen.
Brother Branham was here today. He can look by vision and tell us. I'm not a prophet, though. But I serve that same God. And he hasn't changed one bit. He's still Hebrews 13 and 8. Sister Christy has the pictures of the x-ray on her phone. She showed them to me. I just want to believe. I want you to join with me. The Bible said if any two agree on touching anything, that God would answer. I want you to believe with me that when they come back with new pictures of the x-rays, that it won't be like this, but it'll be like that. Do you believe God's able? I know that he's able, friends. We've seen too much these last few months of what God's doing. I know that he's able. We have no reason to doubt. We have no excuse to doubt. We serve the God of miracles. So let's expect a miracle.
Amen. This is the original x-ray, 54.6 degrees. Her back was curved, and she was 2 inches shorter than she should have been because of it. There was a 45.21 millimeter difference in the way her hips were lined up with her vertebrae of what it should have been. And we had a communion service shortly after there, and Sister Christy said that Olivia told her, said, "Mommy, feel my back." And she said, "What's wrong? Does it hurt?" She said, "No, it feels better." She said, she began to touch it, said, "I didn't feel as much curve." Said she looked like she was taller. They went back just recently for a follow-up x-ray. And it's a perfectly normal, there's a curve to the spine, but that's supposed to be there. But where this was curved 54.6 degrees, they don't even have any rating of a curve here at all. And down here where it was off 45.21 millimeters, there's no reading at all where it's off from the way the hips should be lined up with the vertebrae. The doctor couldn't believe. He said, "Oh my," he said, "this is incredible." She began to tell him what had happened. He said, where is this church? Where is this church? There's still some curving here that's just a few degrees off, but compared to the original, it's much better than what it was. And they asked him, they said, "What do you think the chances are of that correcting itself?" He said, "As far as this has gone in such a quick amount of time," he said, "I can say as a doctor that she has 100% chance of 100% recovery." Amen. Amen. Because the architect of her body came on the scene. Amen. Paul said, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Brother Bram says, "In earnestly contending for the faith," 1956, he said, "Father, we pray while we speak to you for the doctors. Give them great things, Lord, to help your poor, suffering children everywhere. Bless the hospitals, every doctor's office. God, we pray that the angels of God stand near, giving wisdom to know what to do every operation. Then, Father, when it comes to the place where he's at his wit's end, just being a man as we are here, then we have a right to come to you, great creator of our bodies. We're your workmanship." Amen. If the musicians would come this morning, you might have a need. Maybe it's not even in your body, but the creator of your body can come on the scene this morning. I'm just going to ask them if they would. I'm going to ask Sister Stephanie. Actually, she didn't know I was going to ask her to do this, but I'm going to ask her to sing that song, "There's a Miracle in the Making." And I believe there's a miracle in the making for you this morning. If you've got a need, I don't care what it is, the architect of our bodies, if he could bring you from nothing, where there wasn't a speck, wasn't anything, and he could speak and say, "Let there be," and there was. If he can do that, he can move for you this morning. Amen. Sing it for us, sister. Prayer with you.
It was her last hope. It's in moments like these I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these I can lift up my hands, lift up my hands to the Lord.
Let's let Him know we love Him this morning.
Of angels' wings, I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord, it's in this place once more. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord, it's in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord, it's in this place. Shut in with God, it's in a secret place. It's there in the Spirit, beholding His face. We're gaining new power to run in the race. Oh, shut in with God. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. Oh, there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Working shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, we're gaining new power. That grace, oh, I love to be shut in with God. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. Oh, there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Is here, hallelujah. your name. Amen. Lord, I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, you're the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. In prisoner's chain, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and bless His name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I bless Your name. You are.
Yes, Jesus. Praise Your holy name.
Give you
He's here this morning. Amen. Sister Savannah Virgin came up. She said she was listening to the tape a while ago. She struggled with migraines since she was 12 years old. Said that Brother Branham prayed for a little boy that had a migraine. She said she hasn't had one since. Amen. We serve the great physician. Amen. The architect of her body was standing there. And her faith, something about it. You know, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of the word. That's why we share these testimonies this morning, was to build faith. And I believe faith is here this morning. I believe there's many that came forward that received what they had need of. I believe we'll hear testimonies back. Maybe we'll be having another service on the architect of our bodies, sharing those testimonies. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Oh my, let's sing this together. Well, it's that old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. But
but it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Lord, it's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother, and it brings things from undercover. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Well, it's so good I want no other. For it makes love my brother, and it brings things from undercover. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It's that old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. Oh, but it's good enough for me. Just give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
Amen. God bless you this morning. You see what is produced, not because of Brother Nathan, but because of allowing an atmosphere to be created. I've seen so many pulpit hours wasted running brothers down, trying to straighten out everybody and tell everybody, you know, this church over here is wrong and that church over there is wrong. It doesn't produce very much. But when he's exalted, when he is exalted, amen, things begin to happen. Oh, let's sing it this way. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.
A song after the service, so if all those children could stand in here. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen. Amen.
See, let's sing this before we go here.
Well, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he does feed. He supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with
Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master called us, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he turned the water into wine. To the hungry, call him now, come and dine. Oh, soon the Lamb will take his bride. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Well, old will be a glorious sign. All the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus we will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. God bless you, you're dismissed. Come and dine. Oh, the disciples came to land, thus obeyed Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and dine. Oh, there they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turned the waters into wine. To the hungry, call them now, come and dine. Oh, Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he turned the waters into wine. To the hungry calls now, come and dine. Oh, come and dine. Call us, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus.